Blog Talk Radio.
Of the 1209 Affair will be with us again tonight. And so we'll have also with me my fabulous co-host and my sister, Ronnie Best, will be calling in just a second too. So hopefully you are having a phenomenal day. What a beautiful Sunday it was today. What a beautiful day. 75 degrees outside in New York City. Pure, beautiful, unadulterated sunshine. It was a fabulous, fabulous, fabulous day, and it's not over yet. So if you have not had an opportunity to get outside, get some fresh air, breathe deep, breathe into your lungs some of this fabulous New York City air, make sure you do that. But take your phone or your laptop or your iPad or your iPhone with you and stay tuned to us right here on Ask Kathleen. I'm Kathleen Williams, your host, and my co-host is just calling in to join me right now. Hey, Ronnie, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing great on this
fabulous,
sunny.
You feeling better?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I'm feeling so much better. Thank you for asking. I'm feeling so much better.
It was a wonderful day, wasn't it?
Oh my goodness, it was a beautiful day outside in New York today. Oh, fabulous! I was just so excited to go. I was excited to get outside, but it was kind of hilarious. The only reason that I really went out today was because I went to go get in the car and realized that I lost the chirp chirp. I lost the little alarm thing for the car.
Oh. Oh, my God.
I know. So running around the streets of New York looking for my little chirp chirp thing, and I never did find it. So I can't start the car because, you know, if you don't have the alarm, you can't turn it off. And it's so anyway, but it was still gorgeous out and it was still a great day. So, and how was your day? How's your day been?
Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful.
Oh,
I was out and about all day, so I had a really good time. Really
good. And I can't wait to go to the beach.
One of the best days we've had in a long time. Huh?
It is. It is. And I want to go to the beach this year. You know, for the last two summers, we've been talking about going to the beach. You go. I haven't been yet.
We're going to keep hold you to it.
Yep, we're going to hold you to it.
Because every time we call you, you're like, oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I know. Oh, yeah, I'm coming. Just hold on.
So anyway.
Yeah, we're going to go. Absolutely. I'm ready for it. I want to experience all that New York has to experience this summer. So I'm looking forward to it. But I see we have our guests have joined us. And so I want to introduce. Yeah. So I want to introduce first Mr. Henry Nelson, a dear friend of mine, an extraordinary gentleman, brilliant entrepreneur, has been in business for years now and building several businesses, now building another one, which is just changing the way New York operates as far as entrepreneurs go. Mr. Henry Nelson of the 1209 Affair, I believe, is with us. Henry, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello, Miss Kathleen. How are you?
I am doing great. I'm doing great. Welcome to Ask Kathleen. Thank you so much for coming back. It's always wonderful to have you here.
Yes, yes, yes. I'm excited. I'm excited. We haven't hung out in a minute.
Yeah, we haven't hung out in a minute, but we're going to change that, too. We're going to fix that.
All right. You know where we're at.
That's right. Absolutely. Who do we have with us tonight? Is Frank with us tonight, or do we have Michael, Mr. Michael B. Roberts on the line?
Michael, he was calling, so I don't know who else. I don't know if Frank is on. You hear me? You hear
Frank,
me?
Is that you?
Yes, it is. How you doing?
Hello, Mr. Frank Waters of the 1209 Affair and Mr. Henry Nelson of the 1209 Affair. Does it get any better than this? Oh, my gosh. Hold on a second, folks. I have to catch my breath. Hold on a second.
How you doing?
I am doing great now. I'm doing great now. I have the gentleman of the 1209 on the line. Ronnie, it doesn't get better than this.
Oh, that's great. Fantastic. How are you doing?
We're doing excellent.
There?
I'm so happy to be back on the line with you.
Yeah, no long time we haven't heard from.
Yeah, we got to hang out.
That would be a great idea. That would be a great idea. So tell us what's going on, guys. At 1209, you guys just like rock like nobody's business. Tell us, sum up, if you can, for us, if it's possible even, to sum up the end of 2011. You all went out with a bang and then came in like banging into 2012. So talk to us about what's been going on with 1209 and how you're growing and where you're headed next.
You can take it, Mr. Waters.
I mean, 2011 was a great year. It was the first year for SuccessNet for the partnership with George C. Frazier. So that was very exciting. And then, you always want to top the last thing that you've done, and that's what 1209 has been known for. So the last event with George, he did what he does best. He really came with a great message. And then we was able to bring out Michael Bazin. I mean, we had Lenny Green and Shayla and Aziz from the Network Journal. I mean, the list goes on. So it was a really, really phenomenal last SuccessNet event. It was our Power Networking Awards. And it was great. You know, we received a great Men of Excellence Awards from you last year as well. That was a phenomenal experience. Yeah, so we thank you so much.
It was wonderful
much
to have you all, and you certainly deserve it. So thank you for coming there and gracing that event with your presence. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. It was a pleasure. And it was like, okay, so you ready for 2012? I mean, we couldn't wait. So 2012 came, and boom, here we go again. So Lisa Nichols came out March 22nd, who was phenomenal. I mean, she was excellent. And with Michael V. Roberts coming up, Julian Malvo in September, and then the second annual Power Networking Awards at the end of the year. And that's just the events, So 1209 has so many other great things. We have 1209 on Air, which is our own radio show, which is now in the whole New York City, in Westchester and Jersey. And that's on 6:20 a.m. every Saturday at 4 o'clock. And we have 1209 Blue, which is a new web TV show where we're going to different networking events and interviewing those different event producers and letting people see how Frank and Henry actually network and who are the people that are in our network and who we meet and how we're able to develop relationships before they actually turn into something tangible that you can see later on. So those are a few things that are in the pipeline, and we're very excited about it in the new year.
Awesome. So talk to me about the how you are impacting other entrepreneurs and other businesses. I know you're putting together some networking, not just networking so that people can come together, but also so that people can work together and build from within a structure that you're creating. So talk to us a little bit about that as well.
Well, basically, the key is really, once we put together these networks, just to bring out like-minded business professionals together so they can actually build, and so we can they can see the importance of networking and partnerships. And I mean, just out of us, putting together these events, we've had individuals that partner up and form the nice, like a financial company. I mean, three individuals, they pretty much form the financial company and is very successful at what they're doing with that. And, I mean, that's just coming out of just networking. And, I mean, just like another gentleman, we've connected. We're kind of getting into this whole real estate game, and we have a gentleman that started just networking. I mean, he started a program for homeless people. So now he has about two – actually, he has one house, and he what he does, he brings the people from the street, the homeless men on the streets, like a shelter, like an outreach system, I mean, outreach program, and, you know, until they get back on their feet and put them out there. So we plug them through our network, connect with individuals that deals with apartments and housing and things in that nature. So, I mean, there's a lot of great things that come out of it, and that's really what we want to see, just really helping people to make that right connection and to enhance to where they want to go. So we're just excited about it. I mean, it's nothing we have done. It's just something that we've spoken and God and we spoke it and we moved on it, and God just put it all together. So it's really nothing we've done. It's just that we're just vessels, and God is just using us to do what, you know, he wants us to do. And that's just to be a servant to people. And that's basically where we're at.
Right, and holding a space for people to, you know, come together. Yes. And meet each other, because without those networking events and their skills building events as well, because everyone's talking about what they've done and sharing more information about how they can better present themselves to the marketplace. So they learn at the same time as meeting people, at the same time as being able to connect with vendors and getting more and more and more information and having some fun too while they're at it, right?
Yeah, and it's also still. A couple of people find dates, you know what I mean?
Oh, wait a minute. When's the next one?
I'm serious. This guy came to us and said, listen, why don't you guys like a dating service? I was like, man, he met the woman of his life there. So I'm like, okay, if that's what it's going to do. But
well, that'll work. Okay, everybody, get to the next 1209.
If you're single, come on down.
Get to the next 1209 affair. What?
I'm serious, and they'd be excited. So I mean, I'm just happy for them if it works. However, you know, but it's wonderful how people just connect, and that's really what it is—the power of networking and connecting the dots. And making something of it. Don't just hand out your cards and then that's it. I mean, make something out. Everybody don't have that synergy. Everybody ain't going to click. But it's somebody out of 400 or 500 people, you're going to click with somebody in that room. And then this way you come in and make it happen. So we're just excited. I mean, we're definitely excited to where we're going.
Okay, well, I'm just going to go for broke here and tell you that I am really not a big networking person. As if you all didn't guess that already.
Yeah, we know that. We know that's why we hound you all the time. But networking is key. Networking is key, and you have to get out because you are your product.
I know you're like, oh yeah, Kathleen, tell us something we don't know.
We don't know. I mean, that's you have to get out of that because networking is key. I mean, literally, that's how we got to where we are, just by networking. Connecting the dots, getting this radio show, and also working out some great things. We're going to be a part of that, the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. We're working on that. We got some things in the making on that. So there's a lot of business is coming through networking, how we got our radio show on air, I mean, 6:20 a.m., and all this really come from networking, and we're actually going to get an award at the UN on June 15th. All this is through networking. See what we're doing. So networking is key, Kathleen.
Okay, so talk to the people who are like me saying, oh, God, please, I'm just so tired. I don't feel like going. I don't want to talk to anybody. Just leave me alone. Every now and then just because I love you guys, I'll come. But, you know, I'm there. I don't feel like talking.
Yeah,
just give
me
some food and let me stand in a corner and doing this elevator speech for crying out loud. Oh, gosh. You know, it's like, okay, enough already. Don't you know what I do?
Well, see, you're famous, so people already know what you do.
Oh, stop. Stop. It's not true.
But no, it's really about you looking at it as just relationships.
It's like, okay, I need to get to this goal. And what type of people do I need to meet to get to this goal? You know, mm-hmm. And the whole thing that makes it so fun is that you can't look at people and tell if they're the one or not. You know,
no,
so
you
have to kind of talk to, you know, as many people as possible. And you know what happens a lot? A lot of times, even when you talk to people, like sometimes when we do expos and different events and people come by your table, and you know this, Kathleen, from the Circle of Sisters, you know, sometimes it's that last person that comes to your table that's the one that you build the best relationship through the whole 10 hours you was at an event. You know, and that just goes to show you that you never know who is the person that you need to bring you to the next level. That's why you have to be able to be open and step out of your comfort zone, you know, and be able to introduce yourself and get into the habit of conversating with strangers, because that's what it really comes down to. But one of the key things is to look at people and kind of see how you can serve. You know, when you can find out, when you see how you can serve, then that opens up another can, so that way you're not just telling people what you do. Because a lot of times you get nervous, and you're like, I don't know if they're going to even like what I do, if they even care what I do, if they even like me, you know. So if you go into the conversation asking how can you help somebody, now you're on the opposite side, and it's more about, you know, how you feel about them. And if that person is right fit for you, then you continue the conversation. If not, then you move on.
Mm-hmm.
And what you and let me just add on to that. What you must remember, a lot of people must remember, Kathleen, that 90% of your business is really going to come through relationships. And that's relationships with other individuals. So people will spend money with you because of the relationship that they have. They may know your product and everybody else have the same product, but just because of that relationship that you have with that individual, they will spend money with you. So that takes time. I mean, like George Frazier tells us, I mean, he coaches us a lot, and he tells us he spends 75% of his time building relationships. And you have to think about it. If you don't build relationships, who's going to build them for you?
Yeah,
who's
going to
tell people? Nobody can sell your product but you. You don't want to put your product in somebody else's hand. They may not represent it right. So only you can sell your product the right way. And then you start training. Just like us, we just hired like three individuals. Now we're training them to sell our product and to represent the 1209 Enterprise in its proper manner. But, you know, things take time. But until you can get a staff, you have to go out there and build those relationships. And build those relationships, and then things will start opening doors. Because we've got phone calls from someone in Chicago recently said that someone in North Carolina referred them to us. We have the slightest idea. But this is all based on relationship. Have someone in California that called someone from North Carolina and told us about that relationship when we used to be out in Atlanta. So relationship is key, and then once you leave that impact on somebody, they will refer you a year later, 2 years later, the next day, but it's just that relationship that you have with the individual. So that's why we always tell you and stress for you to come on out, Kathleen, and don't stay in your comfort zone. Step out. You're uncomfortable. That's when you work best. You have to do things that you're uncomfortable of doing.
Ooh, okay.
You're like, okay, I'm not doing it.
I do it. And I don't have – the thing is, I love talking to people, right? I really do. But that going into this room filled with a bunch of people that you don't know and just start walking up to folks saying, you know, hey, what's up? How are you? And what do you do? And, you know, it's like oh, – it's just like it, to me, that is – it's pulling my teeth out and plucking my eyelashes. It just is.
Wow, that hurts.
Yeah, it's exactly. It's uncomfortable for me. And it's so weird because people would normally say, ask my sister, ask Ronnie. People would say, well, she talks all the time. She's always talking to somebody. So I don't, they don't get it. They don't get that that networking and cold walking up to people is uncomfortable. But it just is. And that's why the networking thing for me is uncomfortable. And you know what else? I'll tell you why, too. Because in venues like that, it just seems to me that you don't really get to get deep with anybody. It's just superficial, a superficial hit here, a superficial hit there, and then people walk home, they take your business cards, you never hear from them, you might, and like you said, it may just be one person out of 4 hours of conversation that you really make a connect with. And, of course, that one person is valuable, but to me, to get to that one person is is always something like, couldn't I be sleeping or something?
You guys, I hope you guys don't mind the Muppet background noise. I'm babysitting, so I have can you hear my Muppets?
No, thank God the Muppets are on, so they're not laughing at me. I feel like she is crazy. But I'm just telling the truth. I just feel like, why is she not?
But what
why
I'm saying is, the reason why you don't have, you feel like you don't, it bothers you is because you never have to make an effort to talk to people. You know everybody on earth. Who's left? I mean,
not true.
She knows just about everybody on earth.
You always have what it is, Kathleen. It takes practice. I have to tell you, it does take practice. But what we try to do, because there's so many people, a lot of times it's always good when we introduce people to each other too a lot. So when you get people that come to the events on a regular basis, and then you also get a chance to, and that's why the website helps for us, because some people are nervous like this. So when we just redesigned the whole new 1209 Affairs site, so it's a lot of more options, it's easier to use. So most of the members that come out to the events, they sign up online and they network with people online. That way, most of the people on there are going to be at the event. So you get to talk and say, hey, I'm going to meet you at the event. And when you get to the event, you actually get to meet those people in person, which is why we came up with the idea to have the site anyway. So that helps, break the ice a little bit as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's great. So I did want to talk about that because I know I can't be the only person who feels that way. There's got to be attention. And like you said, it takes practice and it takes I don't know whatever else it takes, but you just got to push yourself to say, okay, I'm going to do this.
Okay, and what
you're going, it's like this. I'm sorry, like this. It's just basically like this. I mean, this is how my partner and I look at it to some degree. We see what we want. So now this is all we do. This is how we eat. This is how we support our family. This is all we do. So if we see an individual like
networking. When you say this is all we do, you're talking about networking.
Networking. Yeah. I mean, as far as we don't have a 9-to-5.
Uh huh.
We don't have a paycheck that's coming in, so where we can say, well, I got a paycheck, so I don't have to go to this event. If we don't work at what we do, we won't eat. And this is how we take care of ourselves and our family. So if we see an opportunity and say, we have to go after this individual, this, for example, like George, or just like Michael V. Roberts. We met him in Atlanta a year ago. We saw him. We knew he was of value. We approached him. It's like, okay, if we do it, if he turn us down, okay, at least we know we tried. But then by us not going to him and presenting ourselves and giving him our pitch, he would have never been coming up here actually on the 31st. So it's like either it's a hit or a miss, but if we don't do this, it ain't going to happen. And that's the attitude that you have. And then you have to realize within yourself what you have to offer is like if they turn it down, it's their loss. So you have to prepare yourself in a different state of mind and like, I know what I have, this individual needs, and this is what I'm going to present to him or her. And, I mean, you got to come with an attitude, I'm going out there to get it because I need this. And that's how we've gotten to where we are, not even with Michael Bazin. I mean, he had security guards. He, Frank
came and ran. We was in Harlem when we saw him. Frank ran and came and got me. Henry, Michael Bajan, let's go. So we stopped, and Michael Bajan was in the crowd. Frank just went up to him. I mean, and it is what it is. And then they started talking on Facebook. So it was like, I know I want Michael, and nobody's not going to get him for me. So I got to go and present myself to him. And that's how we did it.
Wow. So speaking of Michael Bajan, what is going on with him right now with regards to the radio show, if you can talk about that at all? Because we miss him in the New York area since they did Kisses Now ESPN Sports Radio. And the afternoon show is somebody else, and Michael Bajan is no longer on New York radio. I know he's still on around the country, though, right?
Yeah, he's right, around the country. Right. And I mean, you know, without us going too deep into it, you know, well, he was at our event anyway. He announced that. You were there, actually, that this
was going
to be his
last
year.
Anyway. See, I did come.
Right, you did come out, yeah, out of the other 9 or 10 events. But we'll talk about that later. But let me stop. But he did speak about he was going to end this year. But I guess with this transition, it's like, you know, politics. I mean, and it's, you know, it's a money thing. And they just made a decision, and they just kind of dropped him and also Tom Joyner. Not to get too deep, but he's still on. He's still on, actually, you know, around the country and stuff like that. But he was planning on leaving radio, period. But things just happened a little quicker, so.
Oh, okay. All right. So, So you guys are promoting networking, important. And you're making you're providing a venue or multiple venues for people to come and network in so they don't have to go create networking events or find some. They can find some phenomenal people already coming together in the events that you all are putting on. And so talk to us a little bit about Mr. Roberts. He was going to call in tonight, no? Or he's not going to be able to make
it. Yeah, he was
going to
call in tonight. Actually, his plane was just landing, so he was saying if he can make it. So hopefully he'll try to get in before time. I mean, before we get off, but he was going to try to call in, actually, because he's going to call into a couple other shows tonight, too, as well. So he may try to call in. That's what he said.
Okay. So talk to us about Mr. Roberts and the event that you're hosting that he's going to be speaking at the end of the month.
Mr. Waters?
Michael V. Roberts is a third black billionaire. He from St. Louis. Him and his brother, you know, started their company years ago, and it's become very successful. I mean, they own various companies from resorts to hotels to aviation company, telecommunication company, radio stations, television stations. I mean, the list goes on. You know, we just felt that this gentleman here would definitely be a great success story and person to add to the SuccessNet arsenal so that people can get an understanding of, you know, what it takes to really push yourself to that level of success, you know. And he will be actually speaking about some strategies that he used to get to where he actually is, you know, today. So we just couldn't pass up the opportunity. We felt that it was much needed. I mean, we've had some great guests come through the pipeline, but this one here was like, wow, like, hey, you know, it was like either him or Russell Simmons, you know, or Magic Johnson. We just had to go with him. It was really, really for us to get him, you know?
What's his background? Did he come from? Was his family already involved in real estate? Were they all? You know, was the family wealthy? And he and his brother are carrying torch. Or
it's funny. They were in St. Louis in the project, and his mom used to be. His mom used to work in a theater right across the street from the projects as a housekeeper. And you know, the same story, you know, you won't be nothing, that type of thing from individuals. And him and his brother wound up actually buying that same theater that his mom worked in. they owned that theater right across the street from where they grew up. I mean, that was, you know, so it was rags to riches, like really riches, you know.
Uh-huh.
So it was a great, great story. But if you definitely, the listeners can visit the 1209affair.com, and there's some great information about him there. There's a new video trailer with some of his properties and some of the things that they've done also on the site as well. So definitely check out the site and get some very detailed information about what they've accomplished.
And I'll forward out the press release that you sent to me. I couldn't load the whole thing on the show's site, to Ask Kathleen's site tonight, but I did put a significant part of it. But I will pass on that press release that you sent about the event. So talk to us about the event. Tell us about the event that's coming up. Where are you speaking?
That you'll be coming out to, right?
You said he Michael V. Roberts is going to be speaking at the end of the month, right? So just I was
going to
tell
you.
Are
you coming?
Yes, yeah, so on the 31st, the event is the success in Brooklyn.
That's right.
Yes. I'm coming. Y'all are crazy.
He comes. Okay, go ahead.
May 31st, right? May 31st. I'm looking, right?
Brooklyn at the Crystal Manor. It's a beautiful, beautiful facility in the Crystal Manor on Flatbush Avenue. The event is from 5 o'clock to 9 o'clock. George C. Frazier is hosting the event. There's another young lady that's opening. Henry can tell you more about her.
You guys, when I come to your event, though, you can't just diss me, you know. Y'all just dissed me the last time I came. That's why I haven't been back. I'm like, yo.
You know, you've only been to one event. Okay, but go ahead. How we dish you, Kathleen?
Kathleen likes to come in and relax and just chill out. Don't worry, I'm going to take care of you next time. I'm expecting you to get up like, Frank, what's going on? They're like, come hang out with me. But you're like, no, I'm going to get my seat and relax.
You're carrying boxes and you're like, oh, I can't talk to you right now. I'll be back.
And
you're like, no, I can't talk to you right now.
It was kind of crazy last simple fact because we just the venue last year and all that stuff. So we had to, all this was like last minute. We just literally found that venue. It was a big issue last year at that last event. So it was like we had to literally do it, you know, get the boxes and stuff like that. So it was a little crazy, but overall it came out good. You know,
it was fabulous.
Nobody would ever know.
That you had, you know, difficult transitions, or nobody would ever know. You all put on a masterful event. It was done. It was decorated nicely. Yeah. The food was fabulous. You know, your guests and everything. It was awesome. It was very, very nice. The only problem was that you dissed me. That was the only.
Hey Frank, Kathleen just sat there. She didn't say nothing. She acted like she was.
I have on videotape, Kathleen. You were in the same seat all night, too. She did not get up. She did not talk. She is not telling a story about not networking. I'm telling you.
You sure did not move. I think the only time you moved when you left.
She was there for 4 hours. Don't worry. We're going to
help
you on the
Ronnie.
But you know what, you got to get this now. We got to get her up.
You come this Thursday. When you come next week, we're going to make sure you be right with us. You're going to have a front row seat right next to Mr. Roberts, and we're going to make sure we take care of you. Before the event, we're going to make sure we're going to actually, this is what we're going to do. We're going to bring you out as our guest at the VIP. So come early.
Because I didn't get to meet anybody last time. I just watched celebrities come and go. And they like walk past and step on my foot. That was the closest I would get. I'm like, ouch. Oh, at least I got some contact.
Frank, you see I.
That's funny. Oh, my goodness. No, you are number one ace kaboom, the best attorney in America right here.
She knows that if it wasn't for me and Frank, she would not be calling. Oh, so she know I always check up on you, right, Kathleen? I check up on you, make sure you're all right.
You do. You do. And I appreciate it so much. I do. I really do. And you're like, okay, just so long as you what did I say? I think I take responsibility for the disconnect that happens. And he's like, yeah, so long as you know it's you. Like that. Yeah, I confess. Okay, I'm sorry. But it's I love you guys. You know I love you all. Definitely, you
yes.
know that. So I will come out and I will not sit glued to my seat. I did walk around. I ate some food, though. I did eat some food.
You did do that, so we got you on camera with that. So we know what you did. We know your every move. And we know what time you left and everything. So we
food.
Got...
That is too funny. But I did. I wanted to meet Michael Bazin and Lenny Green and all those folks that you had there. I wanted to meet them and say hi and talk to George. I don't even think. Did I get to talk to George? I don't even think I got to talk to George.
No, I don't think so.
But,
no. I mean, well, you know, we work very closely with Lenny. Actually, we're sponsoring. Before the transition had taken place, we were sponsoring Kissing After Dark in Brooklyn. So we're still going to do that. So once we do that, once they get the dates together again, we're going to be sponsoring live at the Crystal Manor. So what we'll do is we'll definitely invite you out, and then you can get a chance to sit and chat with Lenny live on air.
I appreciate. Great, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Oh, okay, so we had just lost. Okay, let's bring you back in. I see we dropped you for a second there. Did you drop your phone? You just called back in.
I don't know. It just flew out, but I'm back.
Okay, cool.
So I missed
something good. That's good. No, we're good. So listen, what advice would you have for some new entrepreneurs just out the block, don't really know anybody in the New York area? What should they do to get acclimated and get into this whole business scene? The economy is what it is. They're trying to, do a bunch of things, get it together. Where should they start?
Well, they should start by going to our website and signing up to our website. It's definitely free, the1209affair.com. It's a free website to start. And then you can actually get the, if you have any questions, I mean, you can get the opportunity to network with some of these guests that's on our website. Just post your questions and stuff, and people will actually literally take the opportunity and take the time out to answer your questions that you may have on starting a business, what's the first step, and things in that nature. And secondly, definitely come on out, and then like how George always say, and sit at the master's feet. Everybody needs to sit, humble themselves, and just be willing to listen and take things in. And we're bringing out the best speakers to where, the average individual couldn't afford these type of speakers, because we couldn't have afforded them at one point in time, so we thank God we're able to create this vehicle to where, we're charging only $12.09 to see a billionaire speak, to see George Frazier. So this is a platform here, and everything that you're looking for is literally, you go to our website, and we will make sure that the questions be answered by individuals in their expertise that serve in that specific question that you have to answer. So that would be the first step, and just listen and absorb.
Mm-hmm. And talk a little bit about your connection between 1209 and FrazierNet.
Okay. Well, basically, Frank, you want to take that one?
I mean, we met George Frazier a few years ago. The goal was really to partner with or work with or learn from actually the best networking organization there was. We strictly modeled ourselves after what he did with our own New York twist, and it worked, and he loved it, actually. So we developed a partnership, and SuccessNet is really one of the first products out of that partnership. So that's been going on. This is the second year for the SuccessNet event with us in New York. It's also in Philly and in Ohio. And yesterday was another partnership with George Frazier and Maggie Anderson, was a cash mob. I don't know if you guys heard about it, but the cash mob was a concept from George Frazier and Maggie Anderson to visit various black-owned businesses and have actually a mob of customers or consumers to purchase items from seven different businesses in seven different states
for $20 and spend a $20 minimum to support that business. And that was yesterday. We actually chose Human Bookstore in Harlem, and then we had an after-work mixer at Harlem Lanes. So it was a very good turnout. Jet Magazine covered it. They were on Michael Bazin and Tom Joyner. So it's been all over Facebook and everywhere. And from our understanding from the conversation with George last night, all seven cities had a great turnout, you know. So these are the types of partnerships that we have, the projects that we have with FraserNet, because we're able to really bring back the support to Black-owned businesses and educate them and allow us all to be able to gain and grow and partner and network together to bring ourselves to the next level of success. And then finally, you have the Power Networking Conference, which is George's or FraserNet's annual networking event every year. This year is going to be in Dallas, Texas, and that's June 27th to the 30th. And, of course, if you're interested in participating in that, this is one of the most phenomenal events that we've been to. Every speaker that you've seen us bring out has been, we've met them at FraserNet's Power Networking Conference, plus so many other people as well. So that's an excellent place to be. I mean, the best people are Yana Van Zandt, Lisa Nichols, the best and brightest in the world, Magic Johnson. I mean, everybody is at that conference. And you can visit the 1209affair.com and find out more information about that. So that's the FraserNet and 1209 partnership right now, and it's just growing, and new projects are in the making. And it's the best to be, you know, at the feet of somebody like that. It's definitely a blessing.
It is. It's awesome. And I'm glad you brought that up, because that was my next question, to talk about FraserNet coming up in June in Dallas. And unfortunately, it always turns out this way. Whenever, you know, you have something incredible that you want to go to in the year, and the only other thing that you have to do that year falls on the same weekend. It's like, oh my.
No, right?
How does this happen?
Yes.
So unfortunately, I will not be there with you this year, but I'm going to put down, as soon as I get the date for 2013, God willing, I'm putting it on my calendar, and so it will not conflict with anything else that I'm doing in 2013. So I will begin to attend the FraserNet conferences next year, but I won't be able to make it this year. I hear that every year I hear about it, and the speakers and the guests that George has, not only do they speak from the stage, but they interact with the community of people that come out to FraserNet. So it's a real, an unusually intimate opportunity to speak with some of, like you said, the best minds in the world that come out to FraserNet. So that's really a great thing, and I'm glad you brought that up. For the listeners here to hear more about FraserNet and 1209 and SuccessNet, and I love that Cash Mob thing. That's hot.
It was really nice. I guess we'll start posting the pictures and the video within a week or so. But it was a really, really nice book. I mean, a really nice book. I'm thinking of the books, because we were buying books yesterday. Everybody was buying this this book about Michelle Obama. It's crazy. Everybody wanted the Michelle Obama book, but it was really, really a great event.
That's awesome. That is great. I'm really happy about that. I like that Cash Mob, and then the Harlem Lanes too. The only time I've been there just to look around, but I have not been there bowling yet. So I'm looking forward to an opportunity to do that. But my son told me I'm going to have to cut my nails in order to go bowling. So that's something we have to discuss.
Definitely.
You do? Definitely. You do have to cut your nails to bowl? Okay. That's what he said.
Well, you have to stick your fingers in the holes of the ball. The ball needs to slide off of your fingers. So if your nails are long, God forbid, they might break and snap, you know.
That's exactly
up.
What he said.
The balls
That's exactly
pretty heavy.
What he said.
But we don't want you to break nails, really.
No, we can't break nails, so we'll have to do something. I have to figure something out. So, I don't know. Wilma didn't have nails, huh? I thought Wilma, you remember Wilma? Did she bowl? Wilma Flintstone.
Gotta have some short nails. And we have to get you to come out and play golf with us.
also.
Well, that for sure. I've got my clubs.
Really? Okay.
I got my clubs. I got my golf shoes. I have my golf glove.
All right, yeah.
I've got my golf hat. I am all ready to go for golfing. As a matter of fact, I wanted to go to the driving range on Mother's Day, but I needed some coaching, so I didn't go. But I really want to coach. I really want to golf.
Black golf trainer. He is an expert. He's trained me and my wife, too, so we're definitely going to do something. We have the 12-9 golf team, and we're getting ready for Bob Lee's golf tournament. When is it, Henry? August 1st, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you have a few months to get ready for that.
Okay, hold on. I'm putting it on the calendar right now. August 1st, the golf.
And also, I forgot, I don't know if I mentioned to you, we'll be in, where are we going to be at? The is it Maryland? The harbor at the Gaylord Resort in Maryland. So we're going to be doing... The Miss Black Collegian is doing a huge event, scholarship for young girls, and with the Braston Sisters. And then we're going to be doing a they gave us a call to do an event on the 21st of June. So we'll be doing an event, and the Braston Sisters are going to be a part of it, and they're going to be shooting some of the footage that, you know, from the event, going to be on a their new season of their the Braxton's reality show. So we're excited about that as well.
And I thought the Braxton Sisters were going to visit us here on Ask Kathleen. Are they still coming, or
I don't know if you got a call from them, but I would make that connection and make it happen. I would definitely make it happen because actually I made that. I gave them information from you and also from Minister Kim, and they got in contact with her recently. So they probably will give you a call, but I would touch bases on that so you can get the interview with the Brastons as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We definitely want to have them on. That'd be great. That'd be great. All right, guys. It's always a pleasure to have you. My gosh, it's so much fun when you come on the air. It's so lovely to have you, and then for have you harassing me to come back out to the next event.
Yeah,
that's how I know. I will be there. I'll be there. I would love to meet Mr. Roberts. And you don't jump on Ronnie, though. That's the only thing. You guys jump on me and you don't jump on her. And she's an entrepreneur, too. She's one of the best cosmetologists and hairstylists I know. And she's an entrepreneur, has been an entrepreneur. She's the first entrepreneur I ever met. So talk to Ronnie, please. Thank you.
Well, Ronnie, we got to get you in gear, too.
Yeah, I know.
You need to go and buy George Frazier's book, Click. If you get that book, Click, that book will help you come out of your networking shell. It actually breaks down the 10 rules to networking, and it makes a lot of sense. And you'll know instantly, should you talk to this person or not?
Oh, okay.
Very helpful book.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Wonderful.
Kathleen, we'll have to get it. Do you have it already?
Yep. Yeah. Well, I have a copy, actually. I got it when I went to the last event.
You got it right for free.
Can I get it online?
Yes, you can get it online.
Yes, you can get it online. You can go anywhere. I'm sure it's everywhere. It's everywhere. It's Barnes & Noble.
What's it called?
Click. Like clicking with someone? Click.
Uh-huh.
The 10 Truths to Building to Successful Networking. The 10 Truths to Successful Networking.
Okay, and you know, let me just really just add something to it. And basically, if you read that book, it'll literally give you an opportunity. You know, people say, I don't want to waste a lot of time on an individual, see if, you know, if we can work something out. So by reading that book, you can literally identify when you introduce yourself to an individual, do y'all got to is that synergy there? And if it's not, you can keep on moving. I mean, you know, okay, thank you, and move forward instead of wasting your time 20-30 minutes talking to an individual and the results is nothing. So it gives you
time
to really identify that. So, Kathleen, you should have read it.
Yeah. Well, then thank you so much for being here. No, but you know what? I'll have read it by the time I see you on the 30th.
On the 30th?
Yeah. I'll have read it by then because I have this stack of books here that I am that I'm reading right now, in addition to the one that I'm writing, the second one that I'm writing. So you're right. I should have read it by now, but I will have it read by the 30th. So I'm picking up my speed on reading. And, you know, another book that that I read that was we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that another time. But I want to thank you all again for being here with us tonight. What you're always bringing so much great information, encouraging people to get out, teaching them about networking, holding a space for business owners to move to the next level. So what you're doing in New York, New Jersey, Philadelphia, Atlanta, all around the country is incredible. So congratulations to you, the 1209 Affair. Thank you all so much for always being so gracious and coming in to talk to the Ask Kathleen audience. And anytime that you get Mr. Michael V. Roberts, please have him call in and share some of his wisdom with us here on Ask Kathleen.
All right. Let me ask you this question, Kathleen. Only on Sundays, anytime during the week, if we can set it up for that.
Yeah, we can set it up during the week. If you let me know when he wants to do it, we can set up a special broadcast just for you all and
I'm sure that we'll get him in this week, definitely.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. So whenever you do, I have his information already. I'll put it up and send it out, shoot it out, and let everybody know he's going to be here so we can help promote again the event.
Yeah.
And tell the listeners again one more time about the event that's coming up with Mr. Roberts and 1209.
May 31st, SuccessNet. This is our second event of the year with BNN module. Michael V. Roberts is going to be held at the Crystal Manor in Brooklyn. And for more information, you can just visit our website, www.the1209affair.com, www.the1209affair.com, or you can call 212-537-9118, 212-537-9118.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. So, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Frank V. Waters and Mr. Henry Nelson of the 1209 Enterprise are with us tonight, and we just want to thank you again for being here, gentlemen, and come back anytime, anytime. Ask Kathleen.
Good.
Our casa es su casa.
All right. Likewise.
All right, guys. Have a great evening, and talk to you again soon. All right. Ronnie, you still there?
Yes, I'm still here. Can you hear me?
They are so much. Yeah, they're so much fun.
Yes,
I love them.
They are.
They are so much fun. So listen, you have some time for Ronnie's rave. Do you have anything that you want to talk about tonight before we close out?
Oh, of course. Donna Summer.
Oh, gosh. Oh, the last dance.
Oh, my God.
I know. How sad.
So I'm in shock. It's like,
this is
too many. We're going to have to start praying, and we're going to have to, set up a prayer vigil for our artists.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just too
many.
Right
on the heels of Whitney Houston, right? And Heavy D.
That's ridiculous.
It's just like,
and,
oh, my goodness.
And Heavy D and Don Cornelius and...
Yeah, Don Cornelius, too.
Right.
And Chuck Berry.
Mm-hmm. It's just shocking.
Yeah,
and she passed away from lung cancer, which
right,
and didn't smoke.
Right. But, you know, of course, she spent all – not that this is how she got it. I don't know anything about that. But how she certainly has spent a lot of time in clubs and so forth. So I'm sure there was a whole lot of smoking with regards to, you know, in the club environment and everything. So –
Well, they.
The
story is that she lived at Ground Zero.
Oh, that's right. She did say that. She did say that. Hey, Ronnie, talk for a second. I got to go open the door for the mechanic. So you hold down the line. I'll be right back. So talk about Donna Summer.
Okay,
or
sure.
I'll be right back. Okay.
Well, you know, we all love Donna Summer. I don't know how many listeners remember her wonderful music. She was a disco queen. She had some of the hottest songs in the disco era in the late 70s 70s and 80s, and she was single-handedly the hottest disco queen that we have, because not too many people were part of that genre, not too many African-American artists were part of that genre. She just single-handedly slayed the disco music, and she had a magnificent voice, an instrument that was just out of this world. She sang with Barbra Streisand, and she did so many wonderful things, and so it's just a terrible loss, just awful to hear that she was ill. I had no idea that she was ill, even. You know, I read that she didn't really speak about the illness, wanted to keep it quiet, and she was in the process of recording an album, so hopefully that music will come out soon, but I want to send condolences out to her family, because this has got to be a terrible time. And I also wanted to mention that Whitney Houston's family is going to now have a reality show, and all of her family members are going to be part of it. Her mom and her daughter and her sister-in-law, who is her manager, and I guess her brother, who's married to the sister-in-law, obviously, who's a part of that management team, and I don't know whoever else, so that's pretty exciting. I'm glad to hear that, because her daughter, I would really be happy to hear that her daughter's doing something to take away some of that pain of losing her mom, and, you know, give her a project to work on, and maybe she can get her vocals recorded, because she sings as well. And then I was also not shocked, but a little bit stunned that Bobby Brown immediately announced his marriage to his fiance. And of course, you know, I guess he's been engaged for a while, but I wished he had waited like another couple of months just
to
let this whole die down.
Huh? Who was that?
What I was talking about?
Uh-huh.
Bobby Brown getting married.
Oh, yeah.
And I said it would have been nice if he let it die down a little bit. You know, did he have to do it like 3 months later? Come on.
I know.
We're
just joined by Jerome Esprit. He's just calling in. And if you guys can just take over for me for a few minutes, my car broke down. And the mechanic is outside, so I got to let him into the car, and I'll be back in about 5 minutes. So you guys go ahead. I'll be right back. Okay. All right.
Hello,
Jerome, is that you? Are you there?
Yes. I was going to say, how you doing with me? Nice introduction. I'm good. Go handle your business.
Okay, thank
you. While
Robbie and
I yell about Bobby Brown. How are you?
Oh, wonderful. How are you?
I'm good.
Did you have a beautiful, sparkling day today?
Yeah, you know, and then ended up running around, and, you know, obviously she called me out of coming into the program a little late today, so, yeah. But it was good.
Where are you? Is the weather really good?
I'm in New York State. I'm in upstate New York, towards the center.
Okay, because we had the most beautiful day today here in the city. Awesome.
Yeah, it was nice. It was nice here. It was probably about 90.
Okay. 90?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
We weren't that hot. But it was still really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Really cool. Awesome day. But, yeah, I was speaking about Whitney Houston's family having a reality show.
And
I'm really happy about it, actually, because I wanted to hear that the daughter was, and, you know, like involved in some type of project, even if it's a reality show. That's not my favorite, genre, my favorite medium. But at least she's doing something other than sitting around, you know. So
But you know, the thing that I was gonna say about the Bobby Brown thing is that I think that is a woman's thing, that it was like the timing is off. But I think how long were they separated? About a year or two? How long were they divorced?
here in Whitney's?
Yeah.
Oh, it's been a while. I think since 2009 or it's been a while, a couple few years.
Yeah. And so whenever he announced, I know they were engaged and already had a baby, and so it was kind of like whenever he announced it, it was going to be bad. But it kind of, to me, is like the separation of those two families as well. Like he really didn't have much interaction with them. I mean, we can tell that now because of the way Whitney's family was acting towards him.
Right.
And
which was unfortunate. I think it was unfortunate on all sides, you know.
No, don't blame Bobby. Like, I know you want
to
do that.
No, I said on all sides.
Him.
It was just, I'm not blaming him at all. You don't realize that I've known Bobby Brown for a long time. He's not new to me. We've known him for years. I just feel like it was unfortunate that had to play out in public for everybody. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
It was unfortunate that it went that way.
Yeah, because
I don't blame him.
You know.
Nobody ever blamed him for any of this because, A, we, like I said, we used to live in Los Angeles. We knew Bobby Brown. He was not as influential in Whitney Houston's situation at all.
Yeah.
At all.
But,
she was already doing what she was doing way before he met her.
Right. But I know when people started criticizing him about the funeral stuff, people get crazy around funerals. Like everybody gets possessive one way or another. And I can say in his case, I did see his kids and the interview that they had that they spoke about it. But from the kids' perspective, they were like, you know, no witnesses. I was three. Love there. Can't stay at a funeral. And so that's a power play of just wrong, right? You don't do that to kids to begin with. And whether they're your step parents through marriage or you know,
Unfortunate. That's what I said. The whole thing was just unfortunate. And everybody was all emotionally distraught and distressed. And what are you going to do? It's just hopefully, you know, one day time will heal that wound. But I'm really happy to hear that he's getting married because that's a better situation than what he was in. And he seems to be doing good. And I was glad to see him back touring, and you know what I mean? He was really trying to make a turnaround. I watched him on an interview, and he seemed sharp to be trying to hang in there and keep himself sober. And so, you know, all good. I wish nothing but the best for him. He had just lost his mother, too, you know, a father, I believe it was. Yeah, so this tough time. But I also, you know, I was talking about Donna Summer and the contribution she made to music to the disco era that maybe a lot of people weren't part of, but she was an awesome, awesome vocalist. I don't think she got nearly the credit for
Oh, she sure
the,
didn't.
No.
You know what's funny about her is that, or for me, is that I remember the movie Thank God It's Friday. I remember that. And I never really... You know, it's really funny because, okay, you know, going back to 70s and 80s-ish, black folks didn't have that much on TV or in the movies. So, though, you know, it's almost like downplaying the fact that when we lose icons, that it's a blip on the screen to somebody else. But we as a community are probably more familiar with her work. And she had some work that was across the board. And I think as this generation grows up, they'll just go, oh, I didn't know she made that. I didn't know she made that. I didn't know she made that, you know.
Right.
And so she had all of these works in there that I think people forget while you're living, you know, like Patti LaBelle or Prince and all of these guys who are icons who are still walking around here, Stevie, people won't discover their old works, and you know, until later, and they'll go, oh, I didn't know that. And it's like, no, these guys are here. Got to appreciate.
Yeah. So you got to appreciate while they're around. And I was just also, what was I going to mention about the, so Donna Summer, I had one more. And this is a rant.
Okay.
This is not, you know, that was, you know, more of a little bit of a tribute and just remembering Whitney. But I have to rant about this man, George Zimmerman, because I did try to put it away. and I haven't been watching too much, but they brought it up again. I was watching, what's the guy's name with the white hair?
Good Lord, Chris Matthews.
Oh, God, I could see his face.
Are they a news person?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Let's see. I would have to get, was it Fox? Do you know?
CNN.
CNN, okay. Wolf Blitzer, probably. Wolf or...
No. He looks young, but he's got the right hair.
Oh,
kind of looks like Dr. Drew.
Yeah, the little...
I don't know why his name just...
Gloria Vanderbilt, I guess,
exactly.
One of those guys.
Gloria Vanderbilt, son.
Yeah.
That guy.
Anderson
Cooper. Okay, so Anderson.
Anderson Cooper, yeah.
He had the lawyer for the family on, and Sonny Hostin, one of the contributors for CNN. She's an attorney and a prosecuting attorney. And so every day now, they want to show this the back of his head with these, like, three scratches, you know, and this little trickles of blood dripping. And I can't get to my phone because I know that if I get to my phone, they'll probably tap my phone or something. Because I want to know... No, I'm a conspiracist. I have all kinds of conspiracies run around in my head. But the thing is, what I'm upset about is that you keep showing me these three little scratches and saying, oh, he had these gashes on the back of his head. Is that supposed to justify to me that you blew this child's chest out? Why aren't you showing me a picture of the big hole that you blew in his chest?
Right. And we don't know what kind of wounds that the kid had. And to my,
that's what I'm talking about. Show me the wound of the chest of the child. Show me that wound. Show that wound. Let's see that, because it killed him. He's under the ground. So I don't care about this man's little scratches on his head. I'm sure I've had scratches bigger than that in my lifetime, just from getting cut in the kitchen. Give me a break.
Yeah, I think that you're right about that, and this is why I have such a hard time watching CNN. Now, I can watch many news programs. I won't watch Fox or CNN for this reason. CNN intentionally tries to be conservative, kind of Fox News is. And
I won't watch Fox News at all under no circumstances.
Well, it's not news.
But CNN,
so no,
at least they have the contributors, you know. We have some representatives, the attorneys that are, you know, they seem to be level-headed.
Well, I can watch Soledad and, Soledad.
No, Sunny Hostin, she's an African-American prosecutor. She's a contributor on that show, and she let them have it. She keeps saying, are you kidding me with these little scratches?
Right.
I'm not saying that the man's head wasn't hurt. I'm not saying that if somebody pounds your head on the sidewalk, that doesn't hurt. But what I am saying is, and like she said, first of all, this man was the aggressor. So why are we supposed to bleed for him and his little scratches? And how are you going to try to convince me that that was worth killing his child for?
Well,
it's not going to sit right with me ever. I'm going to try to let it go, though.
Well, no, you don't have to. See, here's the beauty of us as a culture, is that we are not. You're supposed to move on from stuff, but not forget them. And the nice trick that media plays, or the greater society plays on black people in particular, is that they keep going, oh, that was a long time ago. Oh, that was a long time ago. And they keep doing the same thing over and over again. So the fact that you keep it in the forefront of your thoughts is kind of important, because when you start to make decisions or start to make comparisons, you'll have that for reference. You know what I mean? And so people forget too easily around here and try to move on to the next great, next best thing. And what they're trying to do is
they're trying
to influence everyone to give them the impression of being fair. But what they're doing is that they're trying to taint by saying, oh, yeah, he was hurt. That's why he shot him. The flaw with CNN, just like what ABC News does sometimes, they do the same thing. They're taking the Fox model, and they're trying to get more viewers. You got to remember, TV news is just a ratings game for them. So they use
right.
conservative stuff. They're not, as much as the Republicans complain that they're liberal, the fact is that they pushed the line of being conservative over quite a bit. So
yeah.
it's funny to hear this. It's like saying, you know, the president was the worst president ever. So they say that in CNN side. You know, and that is far from the truth. He has the best legislative record than any president in modern history, well, up to Lyndon Johnson as far as legislation is concerned. And you look at all of the things that he did, they still say he's the worst president ever, and they repeat that nonsense. That is garbage to even say that out loud. No,
well, I've never heard that on CNN. I only watch Crazy Nancy Grace. I don't really watch CNN.
I only watch Crazy Nancy Grace
because she yells and screams at whoever 24
uh-huh.
hours a day. So I can get my aggression out by listening to her crazy ranting.
Oh yeah, she's crazy.
I won't watch Anderson. It just happened that he was speaking about that, and the attorney for the family was on. And then both those, Sunny Hostin, which, like I said, she's an African-American legal contributor for that channel, Headline News, and I guess she was on that day on CNN, and she was on fire. She was yelling, and the family attorney as well. It's like, listen, you're trying to paint this, you're trying to draw on the sympathy of the country by, and I guess taint the jury into believing that this man had the right to kill this young man over these little scratches. I feel like if you really felt like your life was threatened, your head should have had blood pouring out. Like, I'm talking, you know, I feel like a crack should have been in it. I've seen bigger cracks than little kids. I feel like blood should have, your whole things should have been sopping with blood. I'm serious. Where you felt like you had to shoot this child.
No. You know what, though? And so that is why the whole conversation is a distraction. He got out of his car and approached that kid and got beat by a 17-year-old and wanted to shoot him.
Exactly.
that's
yeah.
the moral of that story. He ran up on the 17-year-old and got beat down. So what?
And he
You're
should
making Trayvon look better
down.
Than me.
Huh?
I said, he looks better to me for that whole thing. Trayvon does.
Right, but
you know,
what also is amazing to me is that you won't discuss if he had wounds on his hands. We don't understand how the confrontation took place, because I know that Trayvon didn't just turn around and start beating the man. Okay,
right.
this is a sidebar, but listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
You're a New Yorker for the most part. And you know in New York, it pops off. People do not play around here. If you start something, they're going to finish it. We were driving down the street on St. Patrick's Day. We were in Manhattan, riding along. This guy passes us by and kind of was a little bit sideswiping our car a little bit. Luckily, he didn't touch us, but he was a little bit too close. So we thought, oh, boy, he must have, and he looked like a cab, so one of those town cars. And I said, oh, God, I hope he, you know, gets where he's going safely, because maybe he had a couple. So anyway, we're riding behind him. We get to an intersection. He stops his car in the intersection. Now, this is like Fifth Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
Jumps out of his vehicle in hard shoes and starts pounding the people on the sidewalk. Just fist flying. And everybody ran off the sidewalk and just beat him down to the ground.
Right. Right.
Now, was he supposed to pull out a gun and shoot somebody?
Well, and more importantly, isn't it okay? Like, here's how the law is generally on this. You have a right to defend yourself generally. So I know in New York State, if I thought somebody was causing bodily harm to you and I shoot them, that's a legal defense. I can stop somebody from killing you, right? So the point is that every time you see an aggressor on somebody, you have a right to defend yourself and you can defend someone else. Right? And so the moral of the story always, oh, you know what? And one of the things I always tell people, especially white folks, is that it is very, no, seriously, because I don't think they get this culturally. You
no, this is Kathleen laughing, sorry.
Hey, Kathleen.
That wasn't Ronnie laughing. That was me. I was like, how did they get here from Bobby Brown?
Well, you can't ask people to fight you. Well, culturally, they don't get it because I know my mother was a teacher in a school district, and she said, you know, one of the substitute teachers came in from the suburbs, and the whole thing goes like this. You make an example out of somebody, and it keeps everybody else in line. So the teacher did this. A little kid wanted to go to the bathroom, and the teacher unfairly yelled at them, and it coincidentally was the nicest kid in the room. So what do you think the bad kids did to her?
Oh, God.
Exactly. They let that lady go home half a day. My mother was like,
yeah.
You cannot do that. Like, we're not if you attack somebody unfairly or you try to fight somebody who fights, they're going to fight you. That's really how that goes. That's a cultural difference. So you can tell people who don't fight. They do stuff like that. It's kind of like George Bush. You can tell a guy who draft Dodger and all that other stuff gets up and say, you know, wherever we find you, we're going to get you and blah, blah, blah. You can tell people who don't fight. They talk like that. I'd be more scared than our president because he's like, all right, well, I'm going to do what I'm going to have to do. Like, you got to watch that dude.
I don't really have much to say, but you know that I take care of business. But that's how, you know what I mean? I'm going to take care of business. I don't really have to say what I'm going to do. You'll know when it's done.
Let me jump in for one quick second.
Go ahead.
If you don't mind. Mm-hmm. I love New York City, but I tell you, they will work you to nobody's end. So the mechanic wants me to go now to the other shop to have the thing fixed. He had to call somebody to see if they could do something for me, and the guy's like, well, when does she want it done? And I said, tomorrow. And he's like, well, she can't come now.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
at God. 9?
Like, it's New
okay.
York, Sunday night, 9 o'clock, and they want to fix it now. So
well,
I'm going to
go
fix
ahead.
It now. Yeah.
All right.
So
well,
you guys
off?
Just – well, no, well, you well, can close off when you're done. You can just close off when you're done, when you can finish your thought and close it out. And everybody, this is Kathleen signing out, leaving Ryan and Jerome.
All right, Kathleen signing out.
And y'all will be good. See you next week at 8 o'clock, and y'all keep going, and I'll see you later. Okay, bye-bye.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. So there, that's my story. So if you can add some comforting thoughts to that. And do you think it's going to be an outcome where,
well,
you know, I don't know how to voice my thought about this. Like, are people going to really be swayed to believe that this was justice for this young man to be in his grave at 17 years old by this man who should have never been bothering him in the first place? You know, you're not a police officer. If he did something wrong, let the police handle it.
Yeah, I don't think that they're going to be able to make this guy, Zimmerman, look like an angel at all. And I think fundamentally he approached this kid, and so therein lies your self-defense because you cannot be the aggressor and claim self-defense. And you need self-defense for stand your ground. So it's like, you know, when you're second grade and you're like, I'm not touching you, I'm not touching you, but you
right.
have your finger in that kid's face. So
exactly.
You can't say, well, he hit me first. You got out your car, according to 911, you got out your car, and you were breathing hard trying to trace him down. So now you were the aggressor.
Now, what about the FBI thing that they can't discern whether it was his voice or the young man's voice?
I don't know if the FBI said that. FBI
said that they can't discern whether it's his voice or the young man's voice, which I think is a bunch of crap.
Yeah, I think it is too. So I have a little bit more faith in the FBI and the Justice Department on this one. I still think he's probably going to be brought up on hate crime charges, regardless of how this thing pans out. So when they convict him, I think, you know, people who are going to want to see him walk is just going to get mad, and there ain't nothing they can do about it.
Okay. Well, I hope because this is really, really a bad scene right now. It's just awful. It's the worst thing I've seen since Rodney King.
Right, and nobody.
And it probably isn't, but right now that's what came to mind, because I'm sure there's some other stuff that I've seen. But Casey Anthony was pretty bad, too.
Well, you know, like I said,
that was pretty bad. Right.
Yeah, like I said, I think it's you're not going to be able to make a case for the Zimmerman guy just because you knew that he was the aggressor. So no matter how you slice this, he is going to be the aggressor no matter how many scenarios that you have. But it's classic to try to distract people. Like, it's like watching this the presidential race. The presidential race is hilarious for the distractions. So people keep saying it's all about the economy and all about jobs. It's not about that, right? The Republicans are saying that, but since the gas prices are going down, we don't hear them yelling about that, right? And the economy is steadily growing. It's just not growing as fast, but it's still growing. Mm-hmm. The argument about the economy is crazy, knowing where we came from. It is better.
Yes.
And numerically it's better as well. And
Better. You know, we all know that this is not the first time that there was an economic crisis. You know,
right.
So to say that, oh, my God, you're not doing your good job, because the economy is the way it is, the people that are griping were broke before he was
Before
George Bush was president. Listen.
Oh, right.
These people were millionaires and all of a sudden, you know,
right.
Now my life is ruined.
In their defense, they got nothing. I mean, they got nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine, like, what would you try to challenge the president on? He's not likable, his standing in the world, how other countries look at us. He's not that personable. He don't know what the average man thinks. Like, you can't even go that route. So the only thing you can do is talk about the things that he has no control over. And that is it. You got nothing else.
Well,
I
don't think that he's going to lose. I have no doubt that he's going to be president again because Mitt Romney is not going to – doesn't have a chance.
Well,
he has a chance. There may be a close race because, of course
it's not going to be a close race.
They want to make it exciting. You know, it's better for ratings, but – Mitt Romney, you know, he just comes off as totally out of touch, totally uninvolved, totally uncaring, unconcerned, and he has money hidden in other countries.
Yeah, I think what the Democrats need to do, though, is that they need to stay on course to get to take back Congress. They need to stop looking at the presidential and take Congress.
Exactly.
Because they're going to take president. It's the Congress that you're worried about, because those
are worried about. Yeah, exactly. The lawmakers. That's right.
Right, and
yeah,
since their approval ratings are still at about 11 or 12 or so, on the Congress side, I would hammer away at those fools. So if you take back Congress, you're automatically the president is going to already bring in his supporters and voters. But if you get people to vote Democrat on the local level, they'll take Congress back pretty easy. So they need to be smart. And try to take Congress back. That is more important because the president got a nut running against him. I don't know a good way to put that, but he got somebody who's just not even worthy of being in the game there. Like, what are you going to do with him?
Well, we'll have to work on that. Keep us abreast of that. Oh, okay, Jerome, we've talked it out, so I'm going to go.
All right.
Kermit just got hit by a car, so this is traumatic.
Who did?
Kermit the Frog.
Oh, Kermit. Oh, no. All right. Go see what's going on with Kermit. And
I'll see you next week.
All right. And I'll definitely be on next week. All right.
Okay,
take it easy.
Care.
All right.